What's up, everyone? Welcome to Metalcore Nerds. This is a little bit of a special episode. It's episode number 60. Doing it solo. First time I've ever done a podcast solo, so it's a little weird, but, you know, we're going to make it work. Today is the pretty cool day, other than being the 60th episode of the podcast. I never thought we'd get to 60 episodes, or that I would do a podcast and people would care about it and, you know, everything like that. So it's very, very cool that I've made it this long, about a year and a half-ish of doing the podcast. And if you're not a part of the Facebook group or anything like that, please join the Facebook group. It's very, very fun. I've loved the community that's been built in there. It's very great. And this shirt is very much birthed from the Facebook group, and I'm going to bring it up on screen right here. It is the Metalcore Mephisto shirt, drawn by the great Billy Barber, aka Dead Eyes Art. Patrick from Adobe Radio actually said Metalcore Mephisto because there was a joke going around that I could be a Skrull or Mephisto himself. So now confirmed, I am Mephisto and immortalized on a shirt forever. So you can pick it up at metalcorenerds.com. It's up for pre-order for 2 weeks. And then after that, be patient. Things are very slow right now, even though in some places things are getting back to normal. I know in other places things are kind of regressing. But just be patient if you order the shirt. It'll take about 2 months, including the pre-order window. But we'll get them to you. They'll be printed on Gilded Hammer. Really, really nice shirts. Very soft. Nice little custom tag with the logo printed in the back. They're nice. They're nice. They're soft. So very excited about that. And if you can order one, please do. MetalcoreNerds.com. The link will be in just the description of any way you're listening to this, whether you're listening to this live or not. If you're watching a replay or listening to it, the link will be in the description regardless. So thank you for everyone for supporting the podcast, listening to the podcast, being a part of the group, anything like that. It's all very awesome, and I appreciate it so much. So I had some people send in some questions. If anyone is watching live and they have some other questions for me, I will answer them as well. I did want to get through some news, some nerd news and pop culture and music news that have happened. The most important thing that happened this week, it's a very sad note, but Joey Jordison, the founding member and ex-drummer of Slipknot, passed away, which sucks. There's nothing really much to say other than it's awful. I love Slipknot. If anyone that knows me personally, I own seriously like 20 articles of Slipknot clothing. It's not an exaggeration. One of the heaviest bands of all time. He was easily one of the best drummers of all time, especially in metal. Probably the best metal drummer ever. Slipknot actually just released like an 8-minute tribute video, so that sums it up better than anything I can put into words. It's very, very beautiful and touching. Most people know that things make me very emotional, so that it made me emotional. No shock. No shock there at all, but rest in peace, Joey Jordison. Definitely be missed for sure. The next thing is totally different subject, but a video from The Flash leaked, but Andy Muschietti, the director, commented on it. It was of Ben Affleck as Batman, returning as Batman, which a lot of people didn't think he would, but it was confirmed or rumored. It's kind of hard. Those lines get blurred between confirmation and rumors nowadays. And he's going to be a big part of the movie. Muschietti was quoted in saying that he's going to be an emotional focal point of the movie, which I think he's probably going to die in this movie, if I had to guess. I could be very, very wrong, but it would be a good way to send off the character rather than him just disappearing and never showing back up again. I'm very excited for this movie. It seems like a lot of other people are too. I know DC has had, you know, a lot of people don't like the DCU movies, or, you know, they're not a big fan of live action DC content in general. I enjoy a lot of it personally, and I know some friends of mine that really enjoy some of the CW shows. Everyone's raving about Superman and Lois, which I've only watched like 5 episodes of, but it was really, really good. Very shocking. Not shocking, I guess, but I was never a Superman guy. So the fact that Henry Cavill won me over as Superman, and then this other CW version of Superman won me over is a pretty big deal, because I just don't care for Superman usually, but they have made me care about Superman. And in addition to that, there's we're getting more and more Superman. It's like all the Batman, all the Supermen, it's all coming. Because Michael B. Jordan announced that he's doing an HBO Max series with him producing and likely to star in, but it's going to be the Val Zod Superman. But J.J. Abrams is still producing one with Ta-Nehisi Coates writing, that's going to be a Black Clark Kent. And that's where things are kind of getting a little bit confusing with DC. I can see some of it, like there's the CW-verse, it's by itself. The DCU is by itself, kind of taking its time right now, building up its characters. And then there's like the HBO Max stuff, like Doom Patrol and Titans that are in their own world. And then there's like the Elseworld movies that have started to come out, like Joker and the Robert Pattinson's The Batman that's coming out next year. Those kind of live in their own bubble. But it's getting to a point where when they do multiples of the same character a million times that are the focal point, that's where things can start to get very confusing, which I understand. I know a lot of people have that big complaint, which is, again, understandable. But we'll see how it goes. I'm stoked for the Batman. This Michael B. Jordan series sounds awesome. He seems to be very into nerd stuff and getting into the background of everything. He's directing and starring in Creed 3. He's producing a Static Shock. I believe it's a movie for HBO Max, which sucks that we're not going to be able to see Static Shock on the big screen, especially the first time it being live action. Same thing with Batgirl. It's not the first Batgirl in live action by any means, but it kind of sucks that they won't take the chance on putting those in a theater and just are deciding to keep them on HBO Max. I mean, I'm still going to watch them, of course, but it is what it is. On a positive front with DC, which seems like a lot of people are high on this movie, The Suicide Squad. Critics have seen it this past week, or are allowed to talk about it, a little bit of both, and the reviews are insane. We get to see it next week. I believe I am seeing it opening night next Thursday, and everything I'm hearing about it is pretty much everything I wanted. Ultra violent, super funny, but has a ton of heart and emotional weight to it. But a lot of people expected that, but are still surprised by this movie, which makes me the most excited. And that's not even shocking either, because we know what James Gunn has done. He made a no-name group from Marvel Comics some of the most popular characters in the lexicon of pop culture. No one knew who the Guardians were, and he changed the Guardians. Like, the comics go more like the movie Guardians than they used to. The Guardians are actually way different than the movie Guardians right now, but that runs spawned off it that were way more like James Gunn's version of the Guardians of the Galaxy rather than the original version. Like, Star-Lord's original, I saw the first appearance of Star-Lord, or like the first cover of Star-Lord, and it looks nothing like he looks now. He just looked like an old school superhero, like Marvel, the original Captain Marvel, and stuff like that. That's what he looked like. It was like he was just like another weird space character. He didn't have the same depth and uniqueness that he does now. But I'm very excited for the Suicide Squad. I hope I'm not overhyping it, because my expectations are through the fucking roof. And I really hope I'm not overhyping it to myself, but it doesn't seem like it from a lot of people who I usually am. I don't let critics, like, first, I like to listen to first reactions and non-spoiler reviews, but I never let it sway my opinion. I watch it with pretty much like a clean slate. I get really sucked into movies and TVs anyway, so me overthinking things doesn't really happen in movies. It's like usually when there's like a thriller with a killer in it, and Sam's like figures it out in the first 5 minutes, and then I'm surprised at the end because I'm just so ingrained into it. So that stuff kind of just goes away by the time I watch the movie. But a lot of people in the pop culture world that I usually have similar views in movies with have loved this movie. So it just makes me think it's going to be unbelievable. Unbelievable. And to another trailer, the end of this year for movies is insane. Ghostbusters released another trailer, which it comes out in November, I believe. And it looks amazing. I know some people are complaining that it doesn't look funny enough, but I think it'll still have laughs. I love that it has this kind of Stranger Things vibe, but it's still tying back. I love a good reboot where they take what's already been built and they make it more modern and they add more to the lore. If you can do that successfully, I love that. Because why not? Like Cobra Kai, love it. I just watched, my mom was up for a few weeks and we watched the new Bill and Ted movie, and that was fun too. And they're still in it, but their kids are almost like the stars of the movie as much as they are. So it was kind of a reboot in a way because it came years later. But I will take a nice reboot that ties into the lore and pays respect and adds to the original material way more than a remake, which remakes are fine if they're done well. It's just, I think it's way better to add to the story rather than have to redo the story. That's just my personal take, but I'm very excited for this Ghostbusters movie. I need to rewatch the old Ghostbusters before I watch it because it's been decades since I've watched them. I think
it's been a long time.
Next up, this is a very weird topic that I don't want to spend too much time on because I think it's going to blow over. Maybe not, because it seems like it's kind of just getting more of a bigger deal today. But Scarlett Johansson is suing Disney. I mean, everyone's seen this at this point, I would imagine, over the deal was not being renewed when they decided to do a day and date Disney Plus Premier Access release with the theatrical release. And it's weird looking at both the statements from Disney and Scarlett Johansson's team saying that they never renegotiated, but that Disney came back and said, oh, hey, the Disney Plus release is still going to make her a ton of money, which makes it kind of seem like they did renegotiate. Either way, if Scarlett is owed money, she deserves the money. She's put in more than her time for the MCU, helped build it. She was a pretty big name comparatively to everyone else in the beginning of the MCU. So if she's owed money, I mean, give her the money. It's you know, a millionaire arguing to a billionaire company about money. But still, she worked for it. She deserves it. She should get it. And Kevin Feige came out today saying that he's upset with Disney of how they're handling this. So it seems like it's more of a Disney front, not a Marvel front, which obviously Disney owns Marvel, but Marvel is still its own company that works for itself, just like Lucasfilm and Star Wars. That, you know, they own them. Same with Pixar, everything like that. Disney owns it, but they still have their own leadership and everything that people have to answer to at the head of Marvel, Star Wars, et cetera, et cetera. But the reason I didn't want to spend too much time with it is I think Disney's just end up giving the money, giving her the money, sorry, and it'll just be over and people will forget about it a week from now, just like how the Warner Brothers thing happened with HBO Max, with them releasing, hey, everything's going to be released on HBO Max for free. And well, if you subscribe to HBO Max and in theaters day and date. And they did that without telling most of the creators, directors, actors, even Legendary, who co-funded Godzilla vs. Kong and Dune, etc. And that caused like a big whirlwind, but no one's talking about that anymore because they resolved it. So I think it's going to be one of those things. I did see that Emma Stone is thinking about doing the same thing because of Cruella. So we'll see. If they didn't renegotiate the deal for Disney Plus for them to get a back end from the Disney Plus, which Disney makes more money off of than theaters, then that sucks. That's shitty. It's just the Disney statement they put out seems like they did, but obviously we do not know what they have done and not done. So it's hard to say where it is. It just seems like it's like a weird miscommunication that got thrown to the media, or that got thrown in the spotlight. Someone in the media found it and blew it up, and now it's, you know, everywhere, because that's how media works nowadays. Someone finds out about something and then it's everywhere in seconds. So I just think it's probably getting blown out of proportion. Not saying that she doesn't deserve her money, she definitely does. I just think it's going to end up being resolved and that'll be it. We'll be good to go, you know. But she should get her money. That's definitely not my point. I just think it'll be gone. I guess the last piece of news before I get to questions that people sent in or tweeted at me or whatever is that we got our first look at Hawkeye. It was just a picture, but it was Jeremy Renner as Clint Barton, aka Hawkeye, and Haley Steinfeld as Kate Bishop, who is also Hawkeye. And it's coming out November 24th. It's crazy that we got this before a Ms. Marvel release date, which I'm assuming is coming before, probably September, if I had to guess. Because it, from reports, it seems like when What If starts in a few weeks here, that we're going to have Marvel content every week until the end of the year, which I am all for. I love it. If you're a fan of this podcast, you know it. We cover everything Marvel, so I'm in for everything. I think we'll probably, they are going pretty hardcore on the Shang-Chi stuff because it comes out in a month, and they just released a featurette today. They released a teaser scene yesterday and a new poster, which is awesome. That movie looks phenomenal. I'm stoked for every piece of Marvel that's coming out in the next few years. Until they do something that's like insanely bad, which I just don't see how they can do at this point, I'm here for everything they put out. So we'll see. I know a lot of people don't like Hawkeye. I don't get the deal with that, but I know this is based on the popular Matt Fraction run, which is awesome. And that Hawkeye is a little different than Jeremy Renner's Hawkeye. They have similarities, but it is very different. But that's a very MCU thing to be, pay tribute to the comics, but still be its own thing, which I like anyway. But the run is super fun. Kate Bishop is awesome. Seeing her and Yelena interact with each other is going to be incredible because they're both super snarky, super sarcastic, super like fast and witty and funny. So I can't wait to see them go back and forth with each other eventually after they're, you know, not trying to kill each other, because I'm sure that's going to be the main premise. Or maybe it isn't. All these crazy rumors coming out lately, which again, they are rumors. It's just, I have no idea where the show is going to, I mean, it's been every show. I don't know where it's really going to take us. You have a sort of an idea, but then they blow your expectations out of the water with the journeys they've been bringing these characters on. So I'm stoked to know more about Hawkeye, maybe see his side of the Budapest story, maybe see more Ronin stuff from the time in the blip. Either way, him training Kate Bishop, I'm here for it. I am ready, and give me everything Marvel. So, you know, let's dive into these questions. First question, Wayfarer asked, any advice for touring bands to get to the next tier in the music industry? So this one's pretty simple. I've always said this, and even friends in the industry like Dan DeFonce or Joel Haston have both said the same thing. If you're a new band who hasn't really toured, start doing weekends, start doing longer runs, whether it's with your friend band, reach out to a band that's a couple states over, trade some shows, and get out there. Get out of your hometown. It is very important to have a solid hometown base, but you don't want to overplay your hometown. You don't want to play every month, everything like that. You want to be able to draw a few hundred kids in your hometown and be able to start traveling out. My biggest thing is always you got to grind it out. You got to do some, once you get your feet wet, start doing some weekends, maybe some 5-day runs, start, do a week run, do 2-week runs. That's massive. You just got to get out there, get your name seen, get your band heard. And another important part is you need to invest into the band. That includes gear, music videos, recorded a good studio. Everything's got to sound good, look good, really good promos. You got to have the whole package. You got to invest and put work into everything you're trying to put out. Because you can be the best band in the world. And sometimes it happens, like in the hardcore world, it's super weird. People barely have bands barely have a Facebook, and then they're touring with Terror in, you know, like a month. But you really just got to put in the work. That's the biggest thing. Invest in to every aspect of the band, sound, looks, sound recording and live, music videos. And even look at, if you're releasing an EP, releasing an album, look into some, if you don't have any label attention or anything like that, look into some PR places. There's some pretty cheap, affordable PR places that do campaigns for smaller bands. And that stuff will help. They'll help you reach more people than you would by yourself. it's always good. Or if you have a friend that's in marketing, social media marketing, that can help give you some advice, give you some tips, anything is going to help with any of that stuff. So that's the biggest advice. You got to grind it out. You got to invest into your image, your sound, everything that involves a band, and just get out there. People got to hear you. People got to see you. That's the biggest thing you can do if you're trying to get to the next level, in my opinion. That's just me. I've seen success in that. People investing in their band, getting out there, grinding, and continuing to grow. So that would be my advice for that. Now, my main man, Isaiah, he asked me, this is a hard question in a way. He asked me, what are my favorite obscure deep cut Marvel characters that have yet to appear on screen that you would like to see in the MCU? That's hard, because my friend Ryan Thurston also asked two questions, and one was, who would you like to see in the MCU? So these kind of go together, except one is more broad, one's kind of deep cut. It's hard, because a lot of the deep cut Marvel characters I either don't know about, or they've kind of already come up, and then I like them more because I saw them come up in the movies. I will say I am excited to see the Eternals, because I know nothing about them, and it seems like even the big comic nerds know nothing about them. So I'm very excited to see that, especially Black Knight and Kit Harington playing Black Knight. I am very excited to see more of that character. One character who's not obscure at all, because a pretty big deal in Marvel Comics, is Silver Surfer, which I can't wait to see in the MCU. Same with Adam Warlock, which I hope is played by Zac Efron, because it'd be awesome. But it seems like we're going to get him in Guardians Volume 3, I would imagine. That is just a guess, but he was teased in Guardians 2 in that post-credit scene, so it would make sense if that's the case. Like, weird, obscure ones. It's hard. Like, Dracula has been rumored, which is kind of obscure, but not really, because it's Dracula, to be in Moon Knight. A lot of people think Ethan Hawke is playing Dracula, which would be really cool. I'm stoked for a lot of those kind of characters that are the weird, supernatural. Even Robbie Reyes coming back as Ghost Rider would be super cool. Not even a Johnny Blaze. Because Gabriel Luna played Robbie Reyes in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I loved his easily the best live-action portrayal of Ghost Rider. And I was hoping he'd come back. I don't think that's happening. But if it did, I would be very down for that. It's hard. Like I said, Silver Surfer is one I really want to see in the MCU. And it's obvious, but Doctor Doom. I guess one obscure one that's very pivotal to another question I got is the Beyonder, which a lot of people said they would love to see if Mark Hamill played the Beyonder. But he's very, very instrumental in Secret Wars happening, which is going to be an answer to that I'll elaborate more on in the other question. But yeah, the Beyonder would be very cool. And he is a pretty obscure, weird character. And he kind of is just the catalyst for Secret Wars. He isn't even really a pivotal part other than his involvement launches it. But as like him being in it, he really isn't. There's like another little part after the fact. But I guess that would be a pretty obscure one, because it's not like everyone's like, who's your favorite Marvel character? And people are like, the Beyonder, you know? Or even like Living Tribunal, I guess it's pretty obscure because they're like the weird space stuff, even though we saw a statue of it in Loki, seemingly. Any of the space stuff like Eternity or anything like that were pretty prevalent in the Infinity Gauntlet comic would be pretty cool to see in live action. Just to see it, because I think it'd be a very big spectacle piece to have that. But I think those are my answers for that. Sorry if that's not good, Isaiah. Sorry. Ryan, to elaborate on yours, other than Silver Surfer, I'm very excited to see Doctor Doom and whoever they cast with Fantastic Four and the X-Men. Like, seeing Magneto, whoever they cast for Magneto, Professor X, and Cyclops, all of that, Storm, Jean Grey. I'm very excited to see a long-form X-Men story done well, because we have definitely not gotten that, other than maybe Hugh Jackman's arc in overall, because I'm not going to say every part of the Wolverine arc is good, because it's not, but they ended it well and they started it well, so I'll give it that. It's, I mean, he was great in the role, even though it's not really a comic traditional Wolverine type character, but he did it in a very good way. At least I feel that way. So those would be who I'm. Everything that's pretty much coming, I'm very excited that they are. I know they haven't announced anything about mutants, but I've talked about that multiple times that I think they're waiting on it because they don't. It can carry a saga on its own. And now that we have all this crazy multiverse stuff going on, it doesn't need to be added right now. And I do think mutants will start to get introduced at some point within the next couple of years, but we don't absolutely need it right now. And that's the thing is, like, I think everyone, and that's in like everything, whether it's wrestling or Marvel or DC, everyone's like, I want the conclusion now. And so you got to enjoy the ride to get to the conclusion for it to pay off. Imagine if we got Endgame like after Avengers 1. That would have sucked. It wouldn't have made any sense. You need the journey. And right now we're at the start of the journey for this next saga in the MCU. And we got to wait it out. We got to go along for the ride until we get to that next point, which we're not there. We're just getting started with that stuff. Ryan also asked, and we're getting some wrestling questions, which I don't talk about wrestling much on the podcast. Haven't done a wrestling podcast episode in a while. Definitely will be doing one for All Out because I feel like that's going to be, there's going to be a lot to talk about after that. But he asked, with the rumored signings of Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, do you think AEW gained ground in being the largest wrestling promotion? And who from the current roster do you want to see them face? Very awesome question. I'm glad he asked it. I think they're not doing Raw and SmackDown numbers. I totally understand that. But they've been doing over a million the past 3 weeks, I believe, which is very, very good. They're starting to seem to grow, and they're on a roll, especially with crowds back. The crowds have been nuclear, so red hot, which I've loved to see that back, because that's what I love about the AEW fan base is that their fans live are an element to the show, 100%. They did a very good job during the pandemic to do what they could. I fully believe that they were the best pandemic wrestling show, in my opinion. I didn't really watch WWE, but I did try to watch some of the NXT stuff. I did watch WrestleMania right after the pandemic started, and that was fine. It had some really high moments, but I am not into WWE anymore. I can't do it. And that's nothing against it. I'm sure there's still good matches, especially in NXT. It just does not interest me anymore. I watch a lot of other TV shows and movies and everything like that, and I would rather focus my time on that than watch WWE product. And that's fine if you do. There's no slight. It's just not my thing anymore. I like AEW. There's rarely a time where I watch it and I was like, that sucks. I don't think there's ever been a time where I'm like, that sucks. There's definitely been episodes where I was like, well, that wasn't the best episode, but I'm not watching it being like, why did I watch that? And I was at a point with that with some of the WWE stuff. So I would rather spend my time elsewhere. And that's it with that. Again, you can love it. I will not knock you for it. Just don't knock me for only watching AEW. That's all I ask. And I think it's very exciting what they're doing with all the other promotions. That's another part that's adding to it. With anyone from New Japan can show up. Anyone from Impact can show up. Anyone from AAA can show up. Anyone from NWA can show up. Like, that's, and they can show up all on each other's shows. That's so exciting. And we haven't really, it's going back to like the old territory days way back in the day, which I never even watched. I was way too young. I got into wrestling in like the Hardy days, and then I dropped out for years and then came back in like the CM Punk heyday. CM Punk is the reason I started watching wrestling again. So I am insanely excited that it seems like it's happening. I mean, if they were hinting at it like they were after Wednesday and it didn't happen, I feel like it'd be a very bad thing for AEW. 1,000%. So I do think, and there's been rumors, another rumor of Brock Lesnar signing with someone else that's not WWE. And where else would that be other than AEW? Which, I'm not the biggest fan of Brock Lesnar. I do love that. I love that Cena squash match that happened in like 2016 or wherever it was. That was incredible. But him holding a title and being there like four times a year, that's an over exaggeration, but kind of not really at the same time. I don't like how they used him. And AEW has proven that they can use talent in way better ways. I feel like they've done an amazing job with Sting, an incredible job with Christian. So I do have faith that they could use Brock in a smart way. But if they did get Brock and those two, that's a game changer. I think those two by themselves are a game changer. But if you had Brock in there, because Brock is a big ass name, huge, massive mainstream name, it would be a very big deal. And I do think we're going to start to see a big switch eventually, especially with them adding the second show Rampage on Fridays. I think it's going to be a landscape change. Like when CM Punk returns, even Sam was like, I was like, I think AEW signed Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. And she was like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. I don't know if she said it's pretty cool, but she reacted in a positive way and she hates wrestling. So it was a big deal for her to even acknowledge it. She did say last night that she would start watching periodically if CM Punk was on TV. So that's cool for me because I love watching it. And I love CM Punk. So for them to face, dude, almost anyone in this promotion, I would love to see them face. Obviously, the big ones are like Daniel Bryan versus Hangman, CM Punk versus Hangman. Darby teasing CM Punk, like challenging him pretty much, which is funny because they both went as best in the world, Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. And, well, more so Daniel Bryan in the Indies and then CM Punk in WWE. But yeah, like Daniel Bryan versus Sammy Guevara would be amazing. Daniel Bryan versus like Stu Grayson, Evil Uno, CM Punk versus like he's been gone so long. Like all of these matches would be fresh. He never really touched Moxley. Him versus Moxley would be amazing. It's crazy because I'm sure these guys are gonna wrestle in New Japan too. So CM Punk versus Naito, CM Punk versus Okada, which I know we got a lot of those matches with Daniel Bryan because he was in the Indies a little longer. CM Punk kind of paved the way for the Indies getting indie people getting signed to WWE in a way. He was the first one to kind of really shine, even though his shining was very forceful. But the list goes on with that. Like, almost anyone, like MJF versus CM Punk. Imagine the promos between those two, like unbelievable. Even like Brian Cage versus CM Punk, or like Brian Cage versus Daniel Bryan, like Ricky Starks versus Daniel Bryan would be unbelievable. Like Wardlow versus CM Punk, even maybe could be kind of cool. I mean, I'll take any of it. I don't think Hideo Tommy ever faced CM Punk, and I would love to see the GTS off. That would be very cool. I know he's not AEW, but New Japan. That's the cool thing about this, is they can show up in here and then still wrestle everyone else on the Indies. And it's awesome. I love that. For Nerds by Nerds podcast, thank you for tweeting these questions at me. They asked me a wrestling question as well. They asked me which one of those I'm more excited to see. CM Punk or Daniel Bryan. If I had to pick, it'd be CM Punk. Like I said, he's the reason. I watched his documentary, I'm Straight Edge. I was like a straight edge wrestler talking about being straight edge on TV. I was like, fuck yes. And then by that, I fell in love with Daniel Bryan. Because when I started watching, he was still the heel doing the no thing. And then when it started to switch over and he became this mega babyface, I fell in love with him. I was in Europe when he announced his retirement. He was like forced to retire. And I was like crying in the corner of a venue before it opened. Because the dude had to give up what he loved. And he was forced to give it up. And that's heartbreaking. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. That's awful. So it was cool to see him come back. And that amazing heel run he did in WWE. I loved the whole vegan thing with like the wood belt and everything. I loved that shit. I thought it was awesome. It's also hilarious that the vegan was a heel because that's WWE's fan base, you know. It's hilarious, but I'm excited to see both, insanely excited to see both, but if I had to pick, it would be Punk, but not by much. And he hasn't wrestled in 6 or 7 years. We've seen Daniel Bryan wrestle in the last couple, so there's a little bit of advantage he has in that realm. But thank you both for asking wrestling questions. I love wrestling, so, and I don't talk about it much on the podcast, so I'm glad I was able to hear. Next question, also from Four Nerds by Nerds podcast. Again, thank you guys for tweeting this at us. And they ask, on a grand scale, how do you think the finale of Loki will affect the future of the MCU? And the most simple way to put that is it changed everything. It was the catalyst to the next saga. Like, this started the next saga, 100%. It launched the multiverse saga, which I'm not sure if that was like an official coined phrase by Marvel or not, but I know a lot of people have used it because the first saga was the Infinity Saga. And I can't wait to see where this goes. I know a lot of people are begging for the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer, which I don't even need a trailer. I'm going. It doesn't matter. I think Marvel and Sony are probably fighting about how it should be released, or I don't know. I know some people, like Daniel RPK, posted Sony's waiting for vaccination numbers to go up, because I know LA is kind of in a very bad position when it comes to COVID, which is an epicenter for entertainment, of course. So I don't really know when we're going to see it. I don't think they can push it back because everything is rolling. It's rolling hard. They're pushing hard for Shang-Chi. It seems like that one's not going to get a Disney Plus Premier Access release, especially after the Scarlett Johansson stuff. I don't think they're going to mess with that anymore. But going back to the question, it put the multiverse in madness. I love that Kate Herron confirmed that there was always a multiverse, because I've been harping on the podcast that no, this show is not creating the multiverse. It's just allowing them to interact with each other, which hasn't been done. Because they say multiverse multiple times in Doctor Strange, which came out in 2016. Like, it's been here this whole time. And even when He Who Remains is explaining it, you know, the universes are stacked up on top of each other. And now he isolated the timeline so the branches wouldn't connect to other branches of the other universes and they could travel between them. So the finale was everything. It launched the next big bad in Kang, the many versions of Kang that we will probably see, that Jonathan Majors has even confirmed himself that it's going to be many differences. That's what attracted him to the role. And it's going to lead to Doom. You guys also asked, what's the coolest thing to come out of it? And I think it's going to be Secret Wars. It's going to be the next Endgame. I've been saying it since Endgame, that I think Secret Wars will be the next big thing. Especially when people are like, oh, Russo Brothers, what did you come back to direct? And they're like, Secret Wars. And I'm like, okay, they're not just saying that. It's going to happen. I do think it'll be from like 10 years from now. It depends what version of Secret Wars they do, but if it's the Doom Secret Wars, we don't even know Doom. We need to build Doom. We need to build the Fantastic Four. It's the only way that version of the story will work. Obviously, they're going to change it a lot. They do that with everything. It's going to be very different. But that's how the multiverse is solved in the comics. It's how they did a big old reboot, and it's how they could do a reboot in 10 years and start from scratch, kind of like how Endgame did. It didn't reboot everything, but it's a big restart. You know, the Avengers are still broken up. You know, Tony died, Cap is gone, Black Widow died. Like, there's not, Hulk is all fucked up, and we'll see more about him and She-Hulk and see what he's up to and what he's doing. But, you know, there is no Avengers team right now. And that's a big deal, especially with the threats that are coming. And that we know, just even the one that we know is coming, and it's Kang. I started watching the Earth's Mightiest Heroes animated show. It's on Disney Plus. And I was watching the Kang arc and that. And that's Kang coming for the whole Avengers. And they still have trouble with him. You know? And now he's going to come. The Avengers are all fucked up. We don't even have an Avengers team. So, again, that finale was everything. I loved it. I said in the after show, I very much understand why or how some people could be very confused by it. Because it was very nerdy. And if you didn't know Jonathan Majors was already cast as Kang for Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, you'd be like, who the fuck is this guy? And it's not like he's been in a ton of stuff. He's been in stuff. I've seen him in Defy Bloods and Lovecraft Country. He's also in The Last Black Man in San Francisco. But it'd be very hard to be like, who the fuck is this guy? Who He Remains? Who the fuck is that? And Joel and I did guess that He Remains could have been in that castle, and he was, but I didn't think he'd be Kang, or a variant of Kang, to be more technical. But yeah, I can't wait to see more Jonathan Majors. I hope he pops up before Ant-Man, the Wasp, Quantumania. I am very curious to see if Loki leads into Quantumania or follows it, or kind of comes out at the same time, like it seems like some of these shows are. It seems like Ms. Marvel might come out around the same time as Shang-Chi, and I definitely would, either Hawkeye's going to end right before Spider-Man No Way Home, or it's going to be kind of like the same thing where like the finale plays after Spider-Man Far From Home debuts in theaters. But yeah, I can't wait to see where everything is going. The grounded stuff, the space stuff, the multiverse stuff. I'm just excited for the ride that the MCU is taking us on. The movies that are coming out the rest of this year all seem amazing. I loved Black Widow, but I think the three that are coming out after are going to blow Black Widow out of the water. And that's not even me dissing on Black Widow, because that movie was very solid. And it surprised me how much I knew I was going to like it. I like mostly everything. That's like the big joke in the group. You like everything. But I thought Black Widow it surprised me. It was a very solid movie. In like the middle of the MCU pack for me, which is riddled with great MCU movies. So it's in great company in that spot for sure. Two more questions left. I got Austin from Stay Noisy. He asked me another music question,
which I appreciate.
The top bands that define my taste in music. This one's a little hard, so I'm trying to do the one that kind of started it for a certain like genre or type of music. The first one's easy, John Mayer. I love John Mayer. He just put out a new album. It's incredible. I loved John Mayer when I was in high school. Still love him. I've loved every album he's put out. But he kind of opened that world of, like, when Ed Sheeran became popular, I dig Ed Sheeran and, like, Jason Mraz and even, like, the Sarah Bareilles and Ellie Goulding, where they wrote pop songs that were on the radio, but they're more alternative pop in a way. So John Mayer would definitely be the linchpin in that kind of era.
And then if we go to
a Bayside, has to be one of my favorite bands of all time. Love Bayside. I actually found out about them because I bought a Take It Back Sunday, Where You Want to Be, which is one of my favorite albums. And it had a sampler, and it had a Bayside song, it had a Hawthorne Heights song, it had an Atreyu song, and I believe a Silverstein song, which is awesome. And that was kind of the bridge to that. So Bayside's definitely one, just because they're like a rock band. I love them. I know this is metalcore nerds, and I've started off with two very non-metal or metalcore bands, but I like what I like, and that comes in anything. TV show, video games, movies, music. If you play it for me, I like it. I like it. That's it.
If I starting to go in the heavier side,
Senses Fail was the first not kind of mainstream heavier band I listened to. It was like them and Silverstein at the same time, and they got me into what eventually would lead to like Bless the Fall and A Day to Remember and Devil Wears Prada and all of that stuff. They were kind of the bridge to that world. So I'd probably have to say them as my the third band in this five. For like metal, probably Slipknot, honestly. That kind of just what more do you have to say if they're Slipknot? Or maybe actually Linkin Park before Slipknot, because I definitely wouldn't have listened to Slipknot if it was for Linkin Park. So I'd say Linkin Park would be there in the four. And then fifth one, maybe Killswitch, because Killswitch is the reason I like love metalcore. Them and like 18 Visions. My mom got me a Headbangers Ball CD when I was like 13 or 14. And it had Killswitch, 18 Visions, Shadows Fall, probably Hatebreed, and probably Avenged Sevenfold and stuff like that. So those are my five, and they kind of branch out into like everything I know and love now. It'd be a tie between Agent Vision and Killswitch. I kind of cheated and gave you six. So I guess I would say John Mayer, Bayside, Senses Fail. Who else did I say? Senses Fail. Killswitch. Linkin Park. And kind of 18 Visions, if I can sneak one in there. Because every band that's new that's now, you know, either sound like an old school screamo band, like If I Die First, or Sea of Space Cowboy, or they sound like 18 Visions, in a way. Or some band that 18 Visions was inspired by. Whether it's Disembodied, or Martyr AD, or anything like that. They kind of just did their own thing on that kind of sound. But I think that would wrap it up pretty nicely, if I had to put it that way. And last question, then we'll get out of here for the solo episode. If anyone who listens to this, let me know what you thought of this one. If you'd like to see more mailbag episodes and everything like that. I'm very curious to see if people dug this, me just talking to myself in the void, pretty much. It's been easier than I thought it would be, to be honest. Last question, my friend Brendan asked, which big bad has you most amped? He gave me choices. Dr. Doom, Magneto, or Galactus? Now, I am stoked to see a live-action version of Galactus done right, but he would be my least of the three, for sure. I am stoked to see him, though. Dr. Doom, Magneto is hard, because we had the Secret Wars talk a little while ago. Dr. Doom is at the head of that, if they do it that way, which I hope they do, because God Doom is wild. But Magneto, he's like a villain, but he's doing the right thing. He's just doing it in the wrong way sometimes. And that makes him so interesting. That's like the best villains. That's why Thanos worked. That's why Killmonger worked. They weren't wrong. Just the way they were going about it was wrong, which is the most interesting you can have for a villain. So it's kind of a tie between those two. I'm cheating a little bit here. Sorry, Brendan, but I'm very excited to see Dr. Doom. I can't wait to see the cast of him. Same with Magneto. I can't wait to see who they cast for both of those characters. I'm very excited to see the X-Men in the MCU. Very, very excited. Because we've never really gotten an X-Men movie, to be honest. I know we got movies with X-Men in the title, but First Class was probably the closest we got to an actual X-Men movie. They've mostly just been mutant movies, which is fine. I like some of them. It's crazy because probably some of the X-Men movies are my least favorite of superhero movies when they started to get good, I guess, is the, like, Blade led into Spider-Man, which led into X-Men, which those without those movies, we would not have the MCU or anything. But the ones before that or near that, like the Daredevil stuff and Ghost Rider, I don't really count those. But if we excluded those and counted like the Raimi verse and or the Raimi trilogy and Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man and things of that nature, a lot of the X-Men movies I'm not the biggest fan of. It's just most people are like, oh, you like everything. It's like, well, I guess in a way I do like a lot of things, but I don't know, this stuff's my escape. I love pop culture and watching shows and movies. And even now, playing video games and seeing the stories they're telling in them, because some of those stories are unbelievable. I just love storytelling. That's why I watch wrestling, too. Storytelling. I love it.
But the things I don't like,
I usually don't talk about unless people ask me about it. So that's why it definitely seems like I like everything. Because if I watch a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of stuff I don't post about. And there's a lot of stuff I like that I don't even post about, because I don't know. I don't need to post about everything I like. But yeah. That's it. I think I'll wrap it up for this one. Again, order the Metalcore Mephisto shirt, please. I love this design. Billy killed it. So I would like people to wear me as a comic book character on their bodies. That'd be very cool to me. And it's an awesome shirt. Print on awesome material. Why the fuck not? And if you have not already, if you somehow stumbled upon Metalcore Nerds, you can follow us on all social medias. If you are listening to or watching us, please follow or subscribe wherever you are watching. Leave a comment. Let me know what you thought of this episode. Watch some old or listen to some old episodes. Let me know what you thought of those. And We're next week is going to be a trivia week. I probably won't have an episode of the podcast. The week after is going to be a Suicide Squad panel. The week after that is going to be a Bad Batch season one kind of spoiler discussion, which will be very cool. I have some cool guests lined up for that. And we're also going to be doing a What If show too. So a lot of stuff coming down the pipe in August. And then there will probably be two MCU trivia nights in August, one in the beginning, one in the end, because scheduling didn't work out for the end of July. So I just moved it back a week. No big deal. But next Friday, 8 p.m. is likely going to be the date of the MCU trivia night. So don't miss out on those. If you watch them before, they're a fucking blast. So I can't wait to do another one of those. So thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And until next week. See you later, nerds.